Praise the Lord. The song service was a thought-provoking song service. That's what it was all about. And I hope it made you people think about what is really going on in your life. Because God is wanting us to think about what is going on around about us. God was giving me a prophetic word to put out for the day, and my tablet of my computer froze. Of course, I didn't have it saved. Who saves four lines? And so I called Chris, and we could not find it. But you know what it was all about? Why are you still looking to tomorrow? Why are you not enjoying today like I've asked you to? And he was upset about that. He said, I've told you I'm taking care of your tomorrows, so why do you keep going there? So why do you do that? Why are you thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow? You know, some people, you hear people say, I might die tomorrow. Well, I'm fine now, thank you. Why worry about that? So if you're thinking that, well, then enjoy today. Because then you won't be here for tomorrow, right? But God was really adamant about that. Maybe that's why the devil made my computer freeze up. He didn't want you all to know that God's upset that you keep thinking about tomorrow. Yes, we have to plan for the future. We all know that. Come on. But that isn't what God's talking about. You're always saying, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? It's going to happen whether you worry about it or not. You know, when those people went to sleep over there in Syria, wherever it's at, they didn't know there's going to have an earthquake. They didn't know that all their loved ones were going to be killed. They just went to bed. And the poor lady who was pregnant wasn't expecting to give birth that way. You know, so we don't know what tomorrow holds. So why don't we just enjoy what today is holding and live for today and in today and just let God do what he wants to do? I hear the young kids say, oh, well, you know, I need to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend because, you don't know, I might get to be an old lady, old maid. Well, you know, that's way down the road. Because I'm a little bit upset with the young kids in this church. Somebody was talking to me about the Jesus movement and sent me something about the Jesus movement, you know, way back when that was. And in that movement, what happened? The young kids got saved, and God used those young kids to do the miracles that he wanted to do with that. What year was that? 60s, that's what it was. And God used the young kids then to do miraculous things. And that's what he's trying to do with you young kids now in this dispensation of time. But you're just sitting. Somebody's going to hurt me again. Well, you know, that's true. Well, how do I know God's really calling me? Well, you know, you won't. Just get in there and serve God and just let him use you. You'll know. You'll really know. That's just an excuse not to follow God. You'll know of God what God wants to do with you. All right, but that first song we sang with Ann, what was her name? Ann Wilson, Living Waters. I was reading about her, how she got to be a song leader, you know, musician. She wanted to be an astronaut. And she couldn't figure out really, you know, what she was doing in life, but she was really leaning going to college to be an astronaut. And then her 23-year-old brother, I guess, who was the love of her life, got killed in an automobile accident. And she said she knew at that moment she had to be serving God and singing for him. And she's a powerful singer, writes beautiful songs. And if you really look at how she dressed people, she doesn't dress like you all do. She has so many clothes on, you can't find her. What I'm saying is she knows who she is in God, and she wears really clothes up to her neck and down to her feet, you know, long sleeves, and they're beautiful clothes. But she could be, after she's a young girl, she could be out there bearing everything like a lot of people do. But she's not out there to do that. She's out there to serve God 100%. You know, when she lost her brother, she was in she grieved terribly. I guess that's really close from what I read. But she didn't quit God because God let him die. She knew at that moment she was supposed to be serving God and not being an astronaut. So what are you kids holding on to? Why are you still bound with the world? What are you looking for? You're not going to find it. You're just not going to find it. You're just going to find more torment, more grief. And then 10 years down the road, oh, I wish they wouldn't have done it. It's going to be too late. 10 years down the road, God's already going to be doing what he's doing. All right. Come on, you young kids. God wants to do great things for you. He's even given me visions of what you're going to be doing, but you're not doing it. You're still sitting. You have to get up out of your pain. And you have to go to work with God in your pain. Then you older folk who are in the way, God said, you're supposed to be there to help them when they stumble, when they fall. You're supposed to be there to encourage them, lift them up, and sort of push them along gently. Because God said he wanted to use the younger generation, but the older generation has to be here to guide the younger generation, because something's going to go off the deep end somewhere. It's not a bad deep end, but they're going to go off the deep end and find out there's stuff out there they can't get out of that deep water. And they're going to need to have somebody say, let's come back to shore a little bit. You wandered out a little bit too far too soon. Are you listening here? God wants to use the whole body of Christ. And what's being killed off right now? The young people shooting each other, you know. But what stood out to me with this earthquake over there, who they're finding in that rubble? The young people. They're finding the older people, but they're dead, but they're finding the young people. God's preserving these young people for some reason. And the little baby that was born, you know, and her mother was dead, and they were, you know, and she was born whenever there was under that rubble. I said, you know, they call it a miracle baby. And you know what? Whenever I read that, when I saw that before, I knew they was calling her the miracle baby. I said, God, there's a purpose for that child's life, for that she would, because the mother and the father and the four siblings all died. Their mother was pregnant when you know, that happened, because she went into birth and had this baby. All the baby's all cut up and everything. Laid in the cold for 5 hours, but the baby's fine now. Took her to the hospital. God's going to use that young girl in a mighty way. But she lost everything. She's the only sole survivor of the family. There's always going to be sorrow. There's always going to be trials and tribulations. You know, there's going to be a lot of laughter, but also an awful lot of tears. Jesus, when he was going up that hill, before he went up that hill and he's going through all that beating, don't you think there might have been times in his head he thought, God, I wish this would stop? And so I said that to say this, when you're going through your trials and tribulations right now, you say, God, make this stop. But God isn't going to, because you have to go through your trials and your tribulations to give you character. And make you a strong tower that others can run into. Are you listening here? So quit saying, oh, if you just take this away, God, I'll serve you. No, you won't. No, you won't. If you won't serve God in your pain, you won't serve God any other way either. You're trying to manipulate God and see God knows you, and you can't manipulate God. Well, God, you know, if I was healed, I'd be such an inspiration. No, you wouldn't. When God's ready to heal you, he's going to heal you. Then you'll be an inspiration. Then you'll be a miracle. You understand that? All you want really is to get out of your pain. So you're trying to act like a little martyr and say, you know, you could really encourage people. We do this all wrong. We just don't do church right at all. And if I offend you, and I don't want to be ignorant, but if you don't want to listen, you can leave. I mean, I'm just saying, it won't hurt me any. Because if you know me at all, I'm going to tell you the truth. And God's been burning in my spirit. The young people need to come forth. And we need to be there to push them forward. And I'm going to tell you that the more you try to encourage a young child to come forth, the more the enemy's going to come in and push and pull. Because the enemy doesn't want the young people to come forth, because that's why he's killing them off. Because he knows these young kids, once they receive Christ, they're going to go crazy for Christ, and they're going to tear down his kingdom. They're not going to be like these last 20 or 30 years where the church is just sit by and let the enemy do his thing. These young people are tired of pain. They're tired of being rejected. They're tired of the hate. And they want something new and something different. And God's going to use them to bring that forth. If it isn't you, he's going to pick somebody else. I'm sorry, the boat ain't going to sink if you don't step up the plate. God always has somebody else to replace you. Are you listening? Come on. Never think that God can't do without you. He doesn't want to, but he can. One day I told God, I said, God, please don't make me do this. I really don't want to do this. He said to me, if you don't do it, nobody else will. This is your assignment. And it was going to be a hard thing, and I didn't want to do it. And God, he just now said, but you pressed through it, and you got it accomplished. So well, I guess God had me say that to say this. You know, there might be times that God said, you're going to do it anyhow. Because if you don't do it, nobody else is. You're the one I chose to do this project. So each one of you, you older people in here, you need to think, am I the only one that can fulfill this certain thing that God wants done? And maybe the answer is yes. Are you listening? You know, the pastors are coming through here from other states say to me, you need to move out of Delaware. You'd really have a large church because people like you. But God said, you need to stay here. Somebody need to stay in Delaware to bring revival. So you see, why are you trying to change states? Yeah, a whole lot of things are going on in a whole lot of other places. And that's right now, it doesn't look like anything's going on in Delaware. But you'd be surprised what's going on behind the scenes. And you're going to be totally shocked at the breakthrough. When God brings a breakthrough, it's going to blow your mind, and you're going to say, thank God I didn't get up and leave. Are you hearing? Now, I'm telling you the truth. That's the way it's going to happen. So anyhow, Father, I just thank you and I praise you for everything you've accomplished thus far. And I'm asking you to do me a special favor tonight. Please work on the young people's hearts. Open up their ears so they can hear us in the spirit realm, Father God, and open up their spiritual eyes so they can see as you see. And Father God, open up their heart wide to receive all that you want them to receive tonight. And Father God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit's here working on each and every one of us, just not the young kids or the old, but Father, on each and every one of us. I thank you, Father God, that your grace is so sufficient. And I thank you, Father. You love us too much to spoil us. I thank you, Father God, that you're making us strong towers that others can run into. I thank you, Father. Your praise and your worship will bring you to my throne quicker than anything else you could possibly do. Fasting and praying, I commanded you to do. But at this given time, your praise and your worship will bring you to the throne room very quickly. As you praise me and as we worship together, you and I, the glory of heaven will be poured out upon this earth. I am going to consume the enemy of your souls, and I'm going to bring you forth with great rejoicing. Others will look at you and say, why are they so happy when there's so much pain everywhere? And you will look at them and you will say, my Father in heaven has all things under his control. And my job is to praise and to worship and to bring all of heaven to earth. My children, you are a special breed here this night. You are from all walks of life. Your lives vary so much, but I have brought you together as one so I can use you in the days ahead to take my glory throughout all the land. Each one of you in here have an assignment tonight, and that is to open up your hearts, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and let me fill you with my glory and my love, my affection for all the entire nation, and then send you forth to minister my love to my people. I am perfecting you. I am bringing you forth exactly as I want to bring you forth. So do not tarry. Do not linger at the cesspool of this world. But come quickly into my open arms and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And never for one instant ever think that I do not have a calling upon your life. It does not matter what you have done in the past. I have called, and I am anointing. And I'm even at times provoking you to anger so that you will see the truth of all things. Lift up your eyes unto the hills this night, for whence cometh your help. And understand that I am, that I am, that I am the God of glory. And I am working throughout this entire universe. Be encouraged and be uplifted this night. And know that I have come to abide with you. My angelic hosts are walking to and fro throughout this sanctuary. And I am going to reveal my deep secrets unto each one of you as you sit in my presence. For I am the Lord God Almighty, and I change not. Thank you, Father. Let's talk about faith works by love tonight, all right? Did you ever stop and think that without love you cannot walk in authority? God told me that. I never really even thought about that. Did you ever stop and think that without love you cannot walk in authority? In 1 John 4:7-8 says, love is of God and God is love. Love is of God and God is love. When Jesus walked this earth, we see him doing great things through Peter, James, and John. In Mark 3:16-17, Simon, to whom he talked about, Jesus was calling his disciples, all right, and I just started with Simon. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Bonjourus, that is, he called them the sons of thunder. Peter, James, and John. I thought that was interesting because, you know, some of us, we can really be a twit, can't we? And you think, God, how could you ever use me? He used Peter, James, and John. These were tough men and could withstand anything, and Jesus loved and trusted them. These were fishermen that God called. And as I studied about these three men, well, the disciples, I found out that Jesus sort of had favor with these three more than all the rest, Peter, James, and John. How do you know that God doesn't favor you more than somebody else? You know, think about that. A couple of weeks after Kenneth Copeland was saved, and, you know, this is something that I read years ago. A couple of weeks after Kenneth Copeland was saved, God told him to read the book of 1 John every day for a month. The Apostle Paul also studied. Okay, so I did that too. I started this last week when I ran across, I had this written down in some notes. And you know what? I found out things in 1 John that I had forgotten. So I'm really encouraging each one of you to read 1 John. Read the whole thing for more than one day and really see the truth in that book. All right, so then I said the Apostle Paul also studied John. Remember, now Paul was not one of the disciples. God chose him afterwards. Remember that? What was one of the things John taught? All right, so we said the Apostle Paul was studying him. God told Kenneth Copeland to study him. And so Paul studied him. What was one of the things John taught in 1 John 4:7-8? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's what John taught. What are you, teacher? What has been taught to you? Or has there anything been taught to you? Paul took this same truth about the love of God, and many souls were won for Christ. Paul could do that because he had a personal encounter with God, and he learned firsthand of God's love for himself and all of creation. I want to stop right there. I want to ask you a question. How many of you in here tonight have had you've had a personal encounter with God? See, a lot of people can't do this. A lot of people can't do that because they don't know they've had a personal encounter, or they never really had one with God. And I've been questioning God, God, why can't these people change? God, why can't they love the way they're supposed to? It's because you have not had a personal encounter with God. You can't love somebody unless you know them. And the only way you're going to know God is to read His Word. So that's why I'm encouraging each one of you to read 1 John for the next month and get to know all about God and what He truly said and He truly is. All right, 1 John 4:18-19 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. There is no fear in love. When you don't get on an elevator because you're afraid of that thing engulfing you, you're not perfected in the love of God. Because if you really were perfected in the love of God, you wouldn't be afraid of anything because you would know God got on an elevator with you. Right, Nancy? Say yes. You know, you would know that God got on that elevator with you. My fear as a child was I would never like to climb a tree because I'd always fear I'd fall out of it. And then one time I decided to climb a little tiny cherry tree. I mean, little thing. I mean, it's tall, but it was thin, yeah. I was up there all night long. I was afraid he could climb out of the tree. I got up, couldn't get out. When my father found me, he was furious. He found me about 8, 9 o'clock at night. And he said, get down out of that tree. I said, I can't. Get down out of that tree. I can't. Get down out of that tree. So I did, and I fell. Tore my dress all to pieces, and got spanked when I got home. But I can climb a tree now. Amen. Come on, there's no fear. But once I found out how much God loves me, I really don't walk in fear of anything. I used to wouldn't climb up on a roof, because when I get up there, then I couldn't get down. Because I looked down, I said, I can't get on. And my daughter said, get on that ladder and get down here. I said, I can't do that. She said, you better get down here right now, or I'm taking the ladder down. You're going to be there all night long. So I turned around and got on the ladder and climbed down. And guess what? I can climb up and down a ladder now. No fear. So, but the point is, if you really love God, you know, you can do all things in Christ Jesus. Except walk on water. I still can't walk on water. Come on. Why can't I walk on water? Because I'm afraid I won't be able to do it and I'll sink. And every now and then the kids will say to me, there's a water puddle out there. Why don't you go try a walk on it? I said, no, I'm not going to try that again right now. If I had enough faith in God, I'd do that. Peter did, didn't he? So if Peter can do it, why can't you or I? Peter had an encounter with God, but he also didn't quite have enough love with God, and he couldn't walk on water. Okay, so according to these two verses, God has loved all the fear out of us. Let's read that one again. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So according to these two verses, God has loved all the fear out of us. I don't hear no amens. Some of you are still walking in fear. We shouldn't fear anything. Fear brings torment. Just recently, when I was sick, and I had to fight fear, and I had to finally get a hold of myself and say, devil, I don't walk in fear. God loves me, and God spoke a word to me, and I believe what God had said, so fear has to go. And I had never really encountered fear like that until that night. But I had to stand my ground. I had to let the devil know that I knew who God was, and I knew that, and I believed what God spoke, and then the fear left. If I wouldn't have done that, fear would have taken me right on out. So how many of you allow fear to take you out? You shouldn't fear anything. All right, so we're going to have a recession. Food's going to be scarce. I won't be able to buy food, everybody's saying. God said he's going to feed you. I said to God, well, if you're going to use a sparrow, make sure he has a clean mouth. Amen. And I'm serious. You know, God's able to feed us supernaturally. We've read too many stories, and I've told them to you, where God has fed his people supernaturally. If you don't believe you can't feed, you put a piece of bread, put a loaf of bread on your table, and tell God to feed the 20 that you have around the table, and then wait and just let him feed you. Well, let's just try and see this work. That is not faith. You don't try and see if it works. You believe it and you do it. Galatians 5:6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what? Love. Faith works by love. It is energized by love. Faith is put into motion by love. So why is that? Most of us are probably familiar with the Apostle Paul's teaching on love in 1 Corinthians 13. But as we read verses 1 through 3 in the Amplified Bible, let's focus on the faith-love connection. See, a lot of people say, well, I prayed and I just didn't receive. And with studying this, I really believe with all my heart that it's because your love walk's not right. When your love walk is right, then whatever you pray for is going to come to pass. Now, if God told you that, like he did Job, you know, he was going to have more than the end and then he did in the beginning, and Job went through all that stuff, that's one thing. God has promised you something. All right, but if you're believing for God to supernaturally pay a bill for you, and he hasn't told you that he's going to do that, but you believe, you have faith, your love walk is right, then you have faith to believe that God's going to pay that bill. God's going to pay that bill. I know. I've walked those shoes. But my love walk is right. And that's why every time I get out of the love walk, I have to hurry up and get back in there again. Because if I don't, well, then God does not have to acknowledge what I ask him to do. Because he's told me, the first thing you need to do is love. Your foundation is love. Well, I'll love Nancy, but I won't love Grace. That's not a love walk. You know, Nancy's really super nice to me, and she smooths my feathers. But Grace tells me like it is, so I don't like Grace. No, you can't do that. That is not true love, all right? Okay, so we're talking about 1 Corinthians 13. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing. A useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, they give to the poor, do this, that, and they're going to go to heaven. That does not take you to heaven. God told, I forgot what the man's name is, that preacher. He said, you go back and tell the people, the first thing I'm going to ask them when they die is, have you learned to love? And he wrote a book about that. Somebody tell me his name quickly. Bob Jones. He died. He went to heaven. I don't know if he died, but he went to heaven. And God said, you go back and tell the people, the first thing I'm going to ask him is, have you learned to love? So he's asking each one of you here in here tonight, have you learned to really love? You can't hate this man over here and love this person over here. That is not working. You know, you're unstable. You're not. You have to love everybody. The Bible tells us to love those who persecute us, right? And I don't see that happening in the body of Christ. We pick and choose whom we are going to love, do we not? Ain't going to work. In our homes, we pick and choose who we're going to love. And a lot of you know, if you're living with somebody that's really unlovable, that is, you really have to work really hard at keeping your love walk going, don't you? And because you know if you don't, then God's not going to bless you the way he desires to. And so you have to look over all their faults and all their flaws, you know, and you have to keep loving them. And I said one time, God, if you want me to love that person, you have to love them through me. And God said, I want you to learn to love them yourself, because that's a commandment I give you. Love. And none of us are perfect. There isn't one of us that's lovable 24/7. So why do we demand that out of others? Well, do you know what my husband did yesterday? So you've fallen out of your love walk just because whatever your husband did yesterday. Because now you're judging and condemning. But you understand what God's trying to say to us? And you know, Valentine's is coming up, and I'm not going to put just one day where you should show all this love. I was talking to Brother Aaron, and I said, you know, love is not a box of chocolates, and Valentine's isn't a rose. Then he says, how about a negligee? I said, what? And so, you know, I got to thinking about that. For 2 days, I thought about that. And I thought, well, you know, man, if you give your wife a negligee for Valentine's Day, that's not saying I love you. That's saying I have a need and I want you to satisfy it. That's what that's saying. Am I wrong? No, I know I'm not. So if anybody gives you a negligee or short underwear or something, just tell them, take them back and get your money back. Because that's not a gift for you. To you, that's you, them telling you, you need to give me something. See, you should have never said that, because that just, I really had to think about that a long time. Yeah, love doesn't say, you know, I love you if you do. Love just says, I love you because you are you. Right? I done lost my place. In the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam just one do not. It was don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God only gave one commandment, but it certainly covered a lot of territory, didn't it? Look what dumb old Adam did. He messed us all up, didn't he? Today, if you think about it, you and I still only have one do not. Don't get out of love. Why are there so many divorces in the world? Oh, well, I loved you for 3 years, but I decided I don't love you no more. Well, what happened? They're the same person you married. You just didn't look at all their flaws because you're too caught up in Twitter world somewhere. That's Then all of a sudden you came down to earth. And you said, oh, well, they're not perfect. And I think I'll go look for another perfect somewhere. And you keep looking. It says divorce after divorce after divorce, right? Church, we need to change that. We need to let the church see that when we get married, we mean that we love each other and we're going to be there for the long haul. That we're not like the world, right? I was a good wife and my first husband, he divorced me. I was going to work one day and he was standing by the garage and God said, tell him to go ahead and do what he's purposed in his heart to do. So I looked at him and I said, God just told me to tell you to go ahead and do what you've purposed in your heart to do. They say, I got divorce papers served to me. I didn't know he was going down that avenue. Then after he divorced me, he went all over the country, every place we knew, because we would travel a lot. He told everybody I divorced him. The world's messed up. Church, why are we messed up? We shouldn't be like the world. Come on. Food for thought. Food for thought. The person you married is the same person now they always were. You just didn't see it all. So you don't divorce them because you didn't see it all. First of all, you give it all you have. You take it to God. And then if it isn't going to change, then, you know, there's just some divorces that have to happen. But I really believe a lot of divorces don't have to happen. People just keep looking for something you're never going to find. Why? Because you don't know love, true love. You don't know what love is all about. Okay, where am I at now, Nancy? Okay, don't get out of love. That's our one commandment, don't get out of love. We are to walk in love, which covers a lot of ground. In fact, we see in this passage that our love walk is connected to everything we do in life as believers, including our faith. If you don't have a love walk, then your faith's not working right either. Paul makes it quite clear that faith without love is going nowhere. It was a Katie Souza who says, she got sick one time and she said, God, why am I sick? And God said, because you have something in common with the enemy. And so she searched herself and she wasn't in a love walk the way she should have. So she got her love walk straightened out and she got healed instantly. So stop and think about what's going on in your life. Why are these things going on? Is it because your love walk isn't right? Or because God is allowing you to go through something? Now, please don't think you're always in sin if you're going through something. God's allowing you to go through something for a purpose. He's going to use whatever you're going through for a purpose. Anything you go through is not for naught. It's going to be, what does God say? Our testimony. And things we go through is always a testimony. And you don't know who needs to hear your testimony of some sort of pain that you had to walk through. All right? Again, we have to ask ourselves, how is it that our faith is so tied into love? Let's read a little further into 1 Corinthians 13 and we'll find out. And so 1 Corinthians verses 7 and 8 says, love bears up under anything. This is the Amplified, and everything that comes. I don't see that happening in a body of Christ. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. You hear that, guys? God wants us to walk in love because love never fails. He wants the best for us, and since the best is found in love, you and I must walk in love in order to receive God's best. This includes honoring Him, forgiving, and walking in the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot pick and choose what we want to believe from God's Word and disregard the rest. This is all God's Word we're reading tonight. It's all connected and it all centers around love. Faith and love are intricately connected. As a young girl, I just loved everybody and I just helped everybody. And I taught my kids to do that. And sometimes I say, why did you do that? They said, that's what you taught us. But anyhow, as the years went by, and I had love stuff all through my house. How many of you ever done something like that? You know, because I just knew love was it. And one day I just decided love wasn't there. There wasn't such a thing as love. I threw away every piece of clothes that had love on it. I threw it, burnt everything I had in my house that had love on it. To me, love was dead. It didn't exist. The pain of being rejected got too hard. So what did I do? I threw away God, really. I threw away love. Then when I got born again, I had to get it all back again. But God gave it back to me. So how many of you, maybe in this room or listening, one day you decided there wasn't such a thing as love? Think about it. Jesus didn't throw it away, did he? He took the beating and he went to the cross. He took all the rejection, all the ridicule. He never gave up on us, never gave up love like I did. And I don't think I'm the only one that's ever done that. But I sure wished I hadn't done it. Because you know what I found out? I found out I was so much happier being oblivious to all the sin in the world and just walking in love, believing that the world was one big love bubble. And one day somebody busted it because I allowed them to. Love still is the strongest thing in the world. And yes, people are still going to hurt you. But think of what they did to Jesus. Nobody can love like Jesus did or still does. I don't think that you can walk in true God-designed love without walking in faith. Neither can you walk in faith without walking in love. Begin studying God's word for yourself to find out about this connection and how to live it. When you bring love and you know, go back to 1 John, read that. When you bring love and faith together, your entire outlook will begin to shift and you'll begin to view the world through God's eyes. And you know, I believed everything that was in the word. I just believed it. When I gave up on love, my faith went with it. And I no longer, even though God used me to raise the dead, I no longer believed that could happen. And even though God would use me supernaturally for see all the miraculous healings, I just couldn't believe that would ever happen again. Isn't that stupid? When you walk in it, when you walk in love and you walk in it, and you just believe everything God says. And because one human being, or many human beings, I should say, they burst your bubble, then you just throw everything to the wind. That's sad. That's really sad. I still sit and ask God to forgive me. It's sad that I allowed the enemy to do that to me. Now, how many of you in here tonight, at one point in your life, you might have allowed the enemy to do that to you? And where your faith wouldn't even work right. Are you listening here? Come on. If you don't have the love walk, you're not going to have the faith, and God can't use you to do the miracles. I'm going to tell you that right now. Have you ever wondered what faith and love have to do with one another? How are they connected? Let's examine this connection in Galatians 5:6. Says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You know, they were arguing about being circumcised or not being circumcised. And he said that has nothing to do with it. It's your faith which worketh by love. Faith works by love. It is energized by love. Faith is put into motion by love. Why is that? Most of us are probably familiar with the Apostle Paul's teaching on love in 1 Corinthians 13, focused on the faith-love connection. Okay, I already read that, didn't I? Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I redid that for some reason. All right, if you go down there where it says, that's our one commandment, Nancy. I wrote down there, today, if you think about it, you and I still only have one. Do not. Don't get out of love. All right, you have that. That's our one commandment. We are to walk in love, which covers a lot of ground. In fact, as believers, we see in this passage that our love walk is connected to everything we do in life, including our faith. Paul makes it quite clear that faith without love is going nowhere. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 over again. You need to get this down in your spirit. In the Amplified Bible, it says, love bears up under anything and everything. We just read it. We're reading it again. That comes. I'm sorry. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Without weakening. See, my love walk weakened, and so did my faith. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. God wants us to walk in love because love never fails. He wants the best for us, and since the best is found in love, you and I must walk in love in order to receive God's best. And this includes honoring Him, forgiving, and walking the fruit of the Spirit. You know, saints, how many years has God been trying to tell us we need to walk in love? More years than He should have had to tell us. And we can testify we've seen people come and go in this church for years now. They come in with sarcasm. They leave the same way because they say, no way. All right, I'll just use me as an example. When I was first born again, my husband, he was into perversion, and he was an adulteress, all right? And I always lived a clean life because I was trying to raise my daughters right. And when I got born again, my pastor told me, you have to forgive him. I said, what? I said, you mean to tell me that if he would just come to the Lord and say, he repents for everything he did, he'd go to heaven? She said, that's right. I said, this isn't right. I was a good girl all my life, and he was a bad boy all his. Now all he has to do is just come here today and say, God, forgive me, and he'd go to heaven. She said, that's right. I said, no, I can't. It took me 3 months to say, okay, God, I understand. He wasn't brought up the way I was. He is who he is. And I want him to go. No, that isn't true. God took me to hell. I want him to die and go to hell. I thought that's where he should go. My pastor had a terrible time with me for 3 months, but maybe she did. So God took me to hell and showed me what torment he was going to go through in hell. And when I came back, I said, no, I don't want him to go to hell. I prayed so hard for him, and he finally gave his heart to Jesus. You don't want anybody to go to hell. You honestly don't. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but I think really what you need to do is take one trip to hell and see the torment that goes on there. God took me there 3 different times, and all 3 times I was being bullheaded. So he let me see what was going to happen in hell about these different things. Then I finally said, God, I want you to love him like you love me. And I want you to save his soul and take him to heaven. He was my enemy, but I prayed for him. How about you? Can you pray for your enemy? It was that young man that got beat so bad here a week ago. What did the mother say? I forgive you. Please don't start a war over this. How many of us would have done that? I really sat there and I said, God, she has your wisdom. She has your love. Tonight, God's trying to change your hearts. He wants to change your heart into his heart. He wants you to get rid of all that, whatever you feel about anybody, all that disgust, whatever. Get rid of it and let the love walk start. I didn't say the person was going to change. I said you would change. Your whole mindset, your whole attitude would change. And when God made me go, and he didn't make me do anything, he told me, the only way he could use me is if I went to my husband at that time and asked me to forgive him. I said, I didn't do anything wrong. He said, you talked about him. You told people what he did to you. So So I went to him, got down on my knees and said, I want you to forgive me for talking about you. And he looked at me in that smug little face and he says, I just don't know if I want to or not. And you know, I'm human, so I wanted to reach up and smack him. But I stayed on my knees and I got myself together and I stood up and I said, it doesn't matter if you forgive me or not. I forgive you. I've asked you to forgive me. And at that point, the world lifted off my shoulders. And I became a brand new person in Christ. So if you're holding aught against somebody that he never changed, he never did. But it didn't bother me either. I was free. And if you're letting somebody like that hold you back, you're not free. And if you'll just let the love of God just permeate your very being, the crown of your head, the soles of your feet, you'll be free. And you won't care what people say or do, because you're the one that's going to have to face God one day. God told me one time, if I can, you know, God can't change and Holy Spirit can't change them, why do you think you can change them? So at that moment, I quit trying to change people. Have you? Because they are who they are. And like God told me, you're sure not God or the Holy Spirit. So what makes you think you can change them? Saints, all we can do is show them Christ. Show them the love of Christ. Oh, you're going to go on a tangent, but do it by yourself, you know, in a room. And don't let the world see you do your tangent. I have my tangents. But I say, okay, God, I got all that out. Now let's just walk on. I mean, come on, because we're not Jesus. We're not God, and we're not the Holy Spirit. We're flesh and blood, and we do hurt. But why allow that hurt to keep us out of heaven? So tonight, the altar's open for those you know that you have ought against people. God wants you to give that ought to him tonight. And in exchange, what he's going to do is fill you with a newfound love that you never had before, so that you can go forth and do the mighty works that God's called you forth to do. And you can do it with love and not do it just because.